Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Mem Hei, and we will begin on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, the third line Meisvei. To review, our Mishnah quoted an opinion of Rabbi Yossi that if one is walking with someone else who may not benefit from him, and the person who may not benefit from me needs to eat, the Mishnah said, as the advice of last resort, that I should take my food, be mafkarit, and like that this other individual will be able to pick it up and eat it. Rabbi Yossi disagreed with that approach, and Rabbi Yochanan attempted to explain Rabbi Yossi's opinion, that what Rabbi Yossi is saying is because hefker is not considered out of my rishus. If I'm mafka something, it's not considered that it's no longer my property unless someone else picks it up. And therefore, if I just put down this food with no one yet having picked it up, it's still mine. Said the Gemara. The Gemara asked a question to prove that that cannot be the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rava refuted Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. But interesting to note, as the Ran indicates at the end of our Masechta, we continue learning sugyas that explain Rabbi Yossi's opinion and understand Rabbi Yossi based on Rabbi Yochanan's premise that Rabbi Yossi holds that if one declares something hefker, it's still halakhically considered his until someone else picks it up. And therefore we quoted a braisa yesterday that the ratio of the braisa discussed that if somebody is mafker his peros to avoid the obligation of giving maisris, the hefker is not valid for the first 3 days. And then the second case of the braisa discussed where somebody made a temporary hefker for a week, a month, a year, there the braisa said that the hefker is only considered out of the ownership of the original owner only when someone else takes ownership of it. And the Gemara said that the Reish and Sefer seem to contradict each other. The Reish doesn't require that someone else take ownership for it to be considered a hefker. The Sefer seems to indicate that someone else must take ownership. And the Gemara gave two opinions on how to explain the Braisa. Ula explained that even the Rabbonim, who normally say that if I'm mafkir something, it's already out of my rishus, agree that in this extraordinary case of hefker, where I am mafkir something only for a temporary while, there they will agree with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that it's not considered out of my rishus until someone else picks it up. Rish Lakish had a different opinion. Rish Lakish says that the entire braisa represents the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, in the first case of the braisa, even though 3 days have passed, if no one picked it up, it should still not be hefker, it should still be considered mine. Rabbi Yossi, because he had this challenge, on one hand, he was concerned, shloi tishtakich, Tyrus Hefker, that people should recognize and realize that there is a halacha that Hefker is part of a Meiser. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi was concerned about the Ramayan, people who just make items Hefker in order to avoid giving Meiser. So Rabbi Yossi agreed to the special din de Rabbanon that the Hefker is not valid till 3 days, but afterwards it is valid. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei. The Braisa says, Hamafgur's Karmoi. If somebody declares his vineyard that it's Hefker, well, the Shachar Omer Batsroi. And in the morning he gets up and he picks fruit from it. So even though he made it Hefker, tells us the Braisa that we know that in every vineyard there are certain Matnois Aniyim, certain gifts that have to be given to the poor people, this person is not absolved from those gifts. And as the Ran quotes, since the Torah used an extra time the word kazoif, The Torah teaches us that even though the person was mafkur these fruits, the halacha will remain that he's obligated to give the matnas aniyim. There are rishonim that qualify this din. The Urayim says that the only time this din is applicable is when I was mafkur this property, these fruits. It was my entire intention just to avoid giving the matnas aniyim. And therefore, if I reclaim it, I will not be absolved, the Torah teaches us. However, if that was not my intent was truly to be mafkrit, and then I reclaimed it, then the halach would be that I am still absolved from giving matnas aniyim. The Ravid says that if when one makes this hefker, it's on peros that are not meshumer, not something that's being guarded, not in a closed field. Again, if I'm mafkrit, even if I reclaim the hefker, says the Ravid, the hefker is valid and I will be potter. There's a machloikus rishonim that discusses if I was, some rishonim hold that this din, that if I'm mafkur and I retract, I'm still chayv in these matnas aniyim. Some rishonim suggest is only if I was mafkur the property. But if I was only mafkur the fruit, even if I reclaim the hefker, I'll be potter from the matnas aniyim. The Rash disagrees, and he says it makes no difference what I was mafker. If I reclaim it, I'm potter from these matnas aniyim. However, even though we're learning this special din, that if someone was mafker and reclaimed the items, he's chayiv beperet ba'oilus b'shichu b'peya, still he's potter from ma'isa. He's potter from ma'isa. And it's interesting to note that Tosfos points out that there are two psukim that teach us that under certain circumstances there's a ptur from ma'isa. One is a pasuk that says Uvo Halevi ke'eloi chelok v'nachli imach, that where am I obligated to give ma'isa to a Levi in something that the Levi doesn't own a portion in my fruit, but in hefka produce that the Levi has a portion, there's no chiyuv ma'aser. Then there's another pasuk that we have been discussing regarding Shemitah, where there the halacha is, the pasuk says, V'ochu avyoni amecha v'yisrim toichel chayis asoda. So the Gemara says, just like a chayu, just like animals eat without ma'aser being separated, so too will be the halacha regarding shvi'is produce. Shvi'is produce will not be obligated that one should give ma'isa from them. And Tosfos makes an ambiguous comment. He says, and there's a need to teach us this din by fruits that are hefker, and there's a need to teach us this din by shvi'is produce, but Tosfos doesn't explain why we need two separate psukim. So some mefarshim, the Marit, as we have discussed the opinion of Marit a number of times, says that since, as we learned, the halacha is that all of the fruit, all of the fields in the Shemitah year are considered hefker, afkata derachmona, they're automatically considered hefker, and therefore the halacha will be that if one even would close his field during the Shemitah year, would make it inaccessible to others, still, it's inherently hefker, and therefore those fruits would be potter to take from them meiser. On the other hand, certainly if I make the fruit inaccessible in a regular year, that can't be considered hefker and should be absolved from trumas and meisers. Another pshat is that the hefker of Shemitah is a very unique hefker. It's a unique hefker because it's only a hefker for Jews, not for goyim. Typically, when I'm mafker something, it's completely hefker. And only that's the case that is considered hefker that should be potter for ma'isa. It's completely ownerless. But Shemitah is a hefker that's only hefker for Jews and not for goyim. That's why we need a special pasuk that the hefker of Shemitah is a hefker that's potter for ma'isa. Others want to say that even according to the opinion of Beis Yosef, and this is not accepted by all opinions, la halacha, that a field is not automatically hefker in the Shemitah year. It has to go through a specific hefker process, even if one were not to be mafker those fruits, still they would be absolved from the obligation of giving maisris, trumas and maisris, whereas certainly all other years there has to really be a hefker. Another teretz that I saw is that in a regular year, if one was mafker his field, he doesn't have to give trumas and maisris. But if he did take trumas and maisris, what he did is considered valid. They have the din of trumas and maisris, according to one opinion in explaining a Rambam. But certainly perishvias are totally exempt from trumas and maisris. And if one were even to attempt to take trumas and maisris from Shemitah produce, it would be considered a meaningless act. So now that we have this braisa that teaches us that if one was mafker his field and reclaims it, he's chayiv in the matnas aniyim leket shicha peret noilus, but he's not chayiv in maisa. So bishlama lula, according to Ula, who says that we follow the opinion of Rabbanan, because the Gemara and the Havmina wants that this braisa should be consistent with the other braisa that we learned, we could explain the Rabbanan ketanelo, the raisa ketanelo. This braisa represents the opinion of the Rabbanan midaraisa. The midaraisa, as soon as I'm mafker something, even if no one else picked it up, it is considered hefker. And that's what this braisa says. As soon as I'm mafker it, it's hefker and it's potter from maiser. The other braisa that says the 3-day rule represents, according to Rabbanan, as Ula taught us, a new din that we have this 3-day waiting period. Ela Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, who explained the braisa that we learned in the previous year, that we mentioned at the beginning of today's year, that according to Reish Lakish, it reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, and according to Rabbi Yossi, if until someone else picks it up, it's not considered hefker, a my potter and a maisa, why is a potter for maisa? Until somebody picked it up, it's still mine. Amalach. So Rabbi Shlakish is going to have to answer. When did I explain a braisa according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the previous braisa? For I was able to come up with a way, says Reish Lakish, how to explain that the entire previous braisa reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, which had a tremendous advantage to it, because as the Gemara indicated, we don't want that the braisa should reflect, on one hand, the opinion of Rabbanon, and the other hand, the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. So Reish Lakish says, I was able to explain that the entire braisa should express the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. However, this braisa, I have to admit, reflects the opinion of Rabbanon, he that consider the item hefker as soon as you mafker it, even if no one else took ownership of it, and that's why it's potifer maisa. Says the Gemara, another way of reconciling ibay seima, another way of reconciling the two braises. Ha the afgrei bape train, ha the afgrei bape tlosa. Our brais that we just learned in today's shir was when somebody was mafkrit, did the hefker in front of three people. And when one went, which is the proper way of doing hefker, which gives it the proper piersim, the proper publicity. And therefore, even Rabbi Yossi will agree that as soon as I mafker the item, it's considered hefker. It's not considered mine anymore. But on the other hand, when someone was mafker only in front of two people, that hefker, Rabbi Yossi says, it's not considered no longer mine. It's still considered mine only until someone else takes ownership. And Duran explains the reason why if I was only mafker in front of two people, is it still considered mine until someone takes ownership? Says Duran, when someone is mafker in front of two people, there the halacha is that there what we assume is that what he's trying to do, since he doesn't have so many people that he's saying that it's hefker to, that one of these two people should be the person picking up this item. That's his intent, and that's his intention. And therefore, until someone else picks it up, it's still considered the original owners. In fact, the Nagid Yehuda says we have here a new type of hefker. There's one type of hefker, which is the typical type of hefker, where we have to be mafka the item in front of three people, and it's considered no longer mine. Here is teaching us, the Gemara tells us, the Nagid Yehuda, that there's a new type of hefker where I could be mafker, that it's only for specific individuals. And it's not a regular hefker, it's more like a seal of rishus. I'm removing my ownership and giving someone else the opportunity to have the ownership on this item, and therefore it's not the typical hefker, and it's still considered mine until somebody indeed takes the ownership. Chassam Sofer disagrees with the Nagid Yehuda's understanding. He says that hefker is hefker, we can't introduce new types of hefker. Says the Gemara, and where do we find this point that there's a difference in front of how many people were mafker? If somebody does a regular type of hefker, has to be in front of three people, have a hefker, but if he's only mafker in front of two individuals, lo have a hefker, it cannot be considered a regular hefker. If Shuman Levi Omer, midaraisa, even hefker in front of one individual would be sufficient. However, why did Chazal say that hefker should take place in front of three individuals? We want to have a situation where there's one person taking possession of what I was mafker, and there will be two more people that could bear witness to it. There's an interesting shaila in the Rishonim and Achronim. Now that we're learning that hefker should l'chatchila take place in front of three individuals, do those three individuals have to be gedolim? If the point, as we said earlier, of hefker taking place in front of a number of individuals is to give it pirsum, is to give it publicity, perhaps we could accomplish that publicity even with just ketanim, even with small children, or not very small children, but who will talk and publicize the fact that I was mafka this item. There's a machloikis harishonim, that this halacha that we said that hefker has to take place in front of three people, is it by all types of hefker, or is it only by the hefker of karka? The Rosh and the Rambam learned that it's only by karka. When I'm mafka karka, I have to be mafka it in front of three individuals. But when I'm mafka metatlin or other items, I can be mafka in front of one individual. Another interesting Tosfos, however, disagrees, and Tosfos says that all situations of hefker have to take place in front of three individuals. This question that Rabbi Shu ben Levi says that hefker midaraisa is valid in front of one person, there's a machloikas Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, Rambam Shulchan Aruch versus the Ramah. Does Rabbi Shu ben Levi say that we at least need one person? That's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. The Ramah, on the other hand, holds that hefker midaraisa really can be done beinoy lebein atzmoy, without anyone there. All these halachas that we need more people are special dinim drabonim. And as we learn the halacha now that hefker has to take place in front of three individuals, a number of shailas lahalacha lemaisa come up. The first shaila is our sugya, that we began the sugya of learning hefker, and as we said in our introductory remarks to today's shir, a situation where someone may not benefit from me, and the only way for me to be able to give him food is by being mafka the food and him picking it up. The question comes up, so if so, we're walking on the road, there's no one else with us, and we're learning that a hefker has to take place in front of three individuals. How could this hefker be a valid hefker? So if we follow the opinion of the Rambam and the Rosh, who say that hefker only by karka requires three individuals. Here we're talking about food, we're not talking about karka, and therefore we don't have to have three individuals. But if we follow the opinion of Tosfos, how will we understand our Mishnah? So again, as we said in the previous year, if it's a situation of Kedei Chayov, this person who may not benefit from me must have something to eat, and therefore Chazal were more lenient, and they exempted their normal requirement of requiring three people to be present for the Hefker. Another way of explaining our Mishnah. But yet another way that the Rishonim and the Achronim explain a very important concept. In a situation where it's obvious and clear that my intent is truly to do a real Hefker. Here I'm walking with a person who may not benefit from me. I don't have to think about him, but I worry about him that he doesn't have what to eat. It's sure that my Hefker is a sincere Hefker. There everyone will agree that the Hefker doesn't have to have three people. And this concept, it can be used regarding Hilchos Pesach also. As we mentioned in the previous shiur, on Erev Pesach, everyone is mevatel the chametz. They say kol chamira v'chamira dikah b'rishusi leva hefker levatel kafir da'ara, and a person says it in the privacy of his home. And again, the question comes up: our Gemara is teaching us that hefker requires three people. How could the hefker in one's home be a valid hefker? So some of Farshim, some Paiskim want to say that, as the Gemara says it a number of times in Masechta Pesachim, Shnei Dvarim Einam Bereshusa Shel Adam, there are things that halachically I really don't own, V'asun HaKosu Bereshusa, the Torah gives me some sort of ownership on these items. Chometz B'Pesach is an item that really I don't own, I'm not allowed to own, it's Pesach, the Torah leaves it in my Reshus, just as I should be over by Yerah, by Yemotzei. So since it's really technically not mine, here a more lenient type of hefker would be acceptable, and a hefker beinoy lebeinatzmoy, with me myself present, is adequate. But we could also use the teretz that we just used. It's Erev Pesach, and a person has spent so much time preparing himself for the yontif, removing all of the chametz from his property. As we just said, when we're clear and we're sure that his intent is sincere, that he truly wants to be mafker this item, then three individuals are not required for the hefker. Erev Pesach, when the person is mafker his chametz, that's truly his intent, and therefore there's no need for many individuals. And in fact, I saw the Paiskim use this concept for another shaila. Many people in Erev Pesach, they don't want to burn all of their chametz. It's a lot of chametz sometimes to burn. So they burn part of the chametz, and the rest of the chametz they leave in the garbage pail to be picked up by the sanitation department. But that garbage pail is yours. So even if you were mafker it, isn't the fact that you're keeping it in the garbage pail that you own, even if you put the garbage pail on the curb, isn't it still in your reshus, and therefore your hefker is a meaningless hefker? And in fact, I saw from the Britzina Rav, the Shalos Chuvas Ber Moshe, he says that if someone has chametz in his garbage, he shouldn't leave it in the garbage pail. He should just leave it on a pile on the curb. And even leaving it on the curb could have shaila, because the curb may be your property. But the Shalos Chuvas Mishnah Halacha says, as we just explained, if it's obvious that my purpose and my intent are to remove this from my reshus, I said the kol chamira, I threw it into the garbage, it's clear that even though it's in the garbage pail, I don't want to own it, I don't want to have it, that is considered a hefker, even if it remains in my garbage pail. And again, the Paiskim mostly use this concept for what we discussed, the halacha, in the previous year, where we discussed that if one realizes, the Torah says, if one realizes on Shabbos that his animal is by a goy, and the goy is using it for labor, and there is a din, as we discussed many times, of shvisas behemtoi, one may not allow one's Jewish animal owned by a Jew, may not work on Shabbos, he should be mafker. But again, if he's being mafker, he's doing it privately, what kind of hefker is it? So some mefarshim want to explain, since here it's a situation of sheval taisa, I'm not actively using this animal on Shabbos, it's just by the goy, here this weak type of hefker would be adequate. But others explain, again with the concept that we've been using, since it's obvious that my hefker is sincere, I don't want to be a mechal Shabbos, be over shvisas behemtoi, therefore the halach is that the hefker is satisfactory, even if it's not done in front of three people. And again, as I said, the Ran indicates, interestingly, that this entire sugya that we've been learning in explaining the opinion of Rabbi Yossi was this opinion, this understanding of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi, that hefker, it's still, even if I'm mafker an item, it's still considered mine until somebody picks it up, was refuted, and the halach is that as soon as I make something hefker, it's considered no longer mine, only the special din that we've been learning by Truma Samaisris, the 3-day rule. Hadnulach ein ben hamuda, hadnulach ein ben hamuda, hadnulach ein ben hamuda. We begin the next parak. Teaches us the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah. Hashotfim shenadru hanor zemizer. We have two partners in a property. And as the Ran explains, and we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in the Shir tomorrow, we're referring to a property, she'ein bo kedei chaluka. It's not large enough that it could be divided. As the Gemara explains in Masechet Baba Basra, property that can't be divided is a property that won't leave with each owner 4 amis. And we each make a neder that we can't benefit from each other. There's a surim likanas l'chatzar. We now cannot walk into the chatzar. Because if I walk into the chatzar, I'm benefiting from you. And if you walk into the chatzar, you're benefiting from me. And we made a neder, we may not benefit from each other. The Ran explains that our Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, who we discussed many times in the previous parak, who holds the vitur osur b'mudur hanoa. Even a minimal benefit is osur. If people are not allowed to benefit from each other, even a minimal benefit is osur. And therefore this minimal benefit of walking into each other's property, which is indeed a minimal benefit, is osur. The Rosh disagrees, and the Rosh says there are times where walking in to someone else's chatzer, walking into someone's property, is not considered a minimal benefit, and therefore our Mishnah could represent even the opinion of the Rabbanon. Jutva explains that especially in our Mishnah where we're talking about a chatzer, and in ancient times chatzeres were not only used for walking through, but chatzeres were an integral part of where people lived, and therefore using one's chatzer is not considered vitor, is not considered a minimal benefit, and therefore even the Rabbanim would agree that this is not a situation of vitor. Rekiva Eger, however, says that according to the Ran, who explains that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, that says vitor is osur, it must be a situation where the person said that he will not have benefit one from the other. But if the person were to say he may not have hano from nichsei chaveroi, there, if vitur is mutter, if we follow the opinion of Rabbanon, there the halacha will be that we could benefit. But if one said min nichsei chaveroi, that even if vitur is mutter, one would not be allowed to walk in to the other person's property. So again, according to the Ran, with Rabbi Kivega's explanation, our Mishnah is following the opinion that vitur is osur. If vitur is mutter, he could walk in because he did not say nichsei chaveroi. But if he said nichsei chaveroi, then he would not be allowed to walk in even if vitur is mutter. Again, only if he said nechassim would it be mutter, according to the man that holds vitur mutter. If he said, I may not benefit from your guf, even if you hold vitur as mutter, he would not be allowed to walk in. And the Ran raises another obvious question. In every situation where two people own a chatzar together, and as we explained, we're referring to a chatzar, she'ein bo kedei chaluka, it's not large enough to be divided. The halach is that each one, so we have to look at this relationship, we have to analyze this relationship, says the Ran. How does the halacha look at this relationship? Each one of us own 50% of the property, and on the other 50% we have a shibud, we have a right, we have an easement to walk there, to use that area. So ask the Ran, if I am partners with someone else in a property, the small property that can't be divided, I own 50%, and I have a shibud, I have an easement on the other 50%, how could someone else make a nether to disallow me from using any part of this property? At the end of the day, I have rights to the entire property, either through ownership or through shibud. Says the Ran, since on 50% of this property, my rights are limited, they're not that I have an inherent ownership of the guf of this property, I only have a shibud. The halacha is a nether could be effective on an area that I have a shibud. And therefore, if I have a shibud on a piece of property that is owned by someone else, he can make a nether to prohibit me from benefiting from that area, and the nether will be a valid nether. And therefore, surim l'kanes l'chatzon. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, however, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov disagrees, and he says, Zed nechnas l'tach shaloi, v'zed nechnas l'tach shaloi. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, as the Ran explains, follows the concept of Breira. And Breira, as we have throughout Shas, speaks to retroactive designation. And what Breira tells us in this situation is that in every piece of property that I'm going, we retroactively say that this is mine. My property, my partner could not prohibit me from. And the same goes for property that is owned by my partner. I cannot prohibit him from that area. That's how the Ran explains Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion. But the Ran asks a question. As we just explained, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's explanation is based on following the concept of Breira. Asks the Ran, we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's Shir that the halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But the question is that throughout Shas, whenever we have the question about Breira, the halacha is as follows. By a question of a Doraisa, we say Ein Breira. By a question of the Rabbonon, we follow the concept of Breira. Ask the Ran, the subject that we're discussing in our Mishnah on the Dorim, the Dharma Doraisa. So how can we follow the concept of Yesh Breira? So the Rashba answers that the situation of our Mishnah is not a Doraisa Diga situation. For as we explained at the beginning of the Shir, according to the Ran, the only reason one can't walk on the other one's property is because it's a situation of vitor. Even the man, the Amr, that holds that if I made a benefit from you, vitor, even a minimal benefit is asur, that's only midrabanan. So now we revert back to a shaila midrabanan. As we said a moment ago, by midrabanan, we do say yesh pereira. In fact, Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks that this answer that the Rashi gives is so obvious and so simple and so great. What's the question that the Ran asks? And actually the Ran doesn't follow the answer that the Rashba gives. So Mefarshim explain that even though, as the Rashba explained, we now are referring to a situation of Drabonon, because Vitor is only Osim Drabonon, says the Sefer Shalman Nedarim, that we have a concept in Halacha, that something that's a Dovi Sheyesh Lematirin, something that going to be, that can and will be mutter anyway, we don't apply the halacha as a bittul. As Gemara says in Masechta Beya, Ad she'techlena be'isser, techlena be'heter. Says the Shalmei Nedarim, every nether is a davar she'yesh lo matirin, for as we learned, a nether could be annulled. And therefore, since a nether could be annulled, it's a davar she'yesh lo matirin, and therefore, even though it's a drabonon, we do not follow the concept of Breira. So the Ran explains, so why do we not have a concern? How can we follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which is based on Breira, when we're dealing with a shaila of Doraisa, and by Doraisa we don't follow the concept of Breira? Says the Ran, in our case, when the partners jointly bought this small piece of property that can't be divided, they knew from the beginning that each one will have the right to use the entire property whenever they desire. And therefore, their initial acquisition is defined that when I walk on this piece of property, this is mine. And when you walk on this piece of property, it's yours. So what the Ran is saying is that when don't we subscribe to the concept of Breira? Is what at a later time we went to retroactively assume that something was the case. 10 years later, we're going to assume that this was mine and this was my partner's. Thereby, the Rabbanim, we say, ain't Breira. We can't follow the concept of Breira. Here, we're not saying Breira retroactively. We're saying from the beginning, when this deal was made, when they bought this property together, their intention was that what I walk on will be mine, and what you walk on will be yours. In a situation where, in such a situation, there, the HaChazal agree that even by the Raisa, we could say Breira. The Ramban has a very similar concept to the Ramban, but he says that according to the Ran, we're saying that from the beginning, this was their understanding. What I will use will be mine, and what you will use will be yours. The Ramban says that we do rely on Breira, but he says in a situation such as ours, where it was understood that there are inherent complications in this relationship because we have such a small field, there everybody will agree that it's Breira that retroactively say that this is mine and this is yours. A very similar concept, but the question according to the Ran is that we're relying from the beginning, and the Ramban says we are reflecting on a retroactive designation, but we are able to rely on a retroactive designation in this type of a joint ownership situation. The first Rabbi Kivega wants to say what's the nafkamina between the Ramban and the Ran's understanding. He says the difference would be, let's say we would have a home. Who would be obligated to put on the mezuzah? According to the Ran, there is no obligation to put on a mezuzah. Let's say we had a relationship like this between a Jew and a guy who doesn't have an obligation to put on a mezuzah. Because according to the Ran, their relationship from the beginning is one that when you use it, it's yours, and when I use it, it's mine. So therefore, it's never really completely the Jews, and therefore it's not considered a Jew's home that there should be a chiyuv mezuzah. According to Ramban, that we are relying on some sort of retroactive designation, and retroactively, when I use this house, it's retroactively having been considered mine, then I would have an obligation to put on a mezuzah. The Paiskim discuss that this question used to come up more frequently, halacha lemaisa, regarding a situation where a person buys an esrig together with a partner. And we know that the dal and minim have to belong to you and you yourself. L'kachtam l'chem b'yoyim arishin. So now the question is, how can I buy an esrig together with a partner and rely that when I use the esrig, the breira tells me that this is mine? How can we rely on that? The chiyuv of esrig is a chiyuv d'oraisa, and we don't rely on breira. Says the Rashba, that following the concept of the Ran, that we can assume that when the partners brought the esrig together with the intent that they each be considered the complete owner to be able to mekayim the mitzvah of lechem, so it's obvious that they're able to take the esrig for the mitzvah. Because if that's the way the joint ownership was formed, that each one of us will be able to use it whenever we need to completely by ourselves, it's considered not a situation of Breira, rather it's a situation of Lechem. The Mishnah Brura, however, says he wants to avoid getting involved with the Shaila Breira, and what he says that we can assume that each partner intends to give his partner his portion as a gift, a matanam nas lahachzer, when the person wants to be kind of mitzvah. If Reuven and Shimon are partners in esrig, when Reuven is taking the esrig to be kind of mitzvah, we can safely assume that Shimon is giving his share of the esrig to Reuven as a matana lahachzer, nas lahachzer, and same can we assume that Reuven intends when Shimon takes the esrig. However, the Mishnah Brura says that the proper way of doing what would be better is that the partner should explicitly say to the other partner when he's taking the esrig. I'm giving you my share of the esrig as a gift, and therefore it's completely yours, and there's no question of lechem, and so should the other partner do, vice versa. Rav Shlaima Kluger says, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin says, Kinnas Rishoim, Ra'alahem V'ra'ala Oilam, Kinnas L'Tzadikim is Toiv Lahem V'Toiv L'Oilam. When Rishoim get together, it's bad. When Tzadikim get together, it's wonderful. And he says we can understand this based on our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says sometimes things can't be divided. Kinnas Rishoim, that sometimes the groups get together, and it's not just that each one of these individuals did the Avera, but the Averas of one individual is considered for the other, and vice versa. It's all one Kinnas L'Rishoyim, and we have each individual with many more Averas. But what we hope for is a Kinnas L'Tzadikim, that when Tzadikim get together, it's not just each one's individual mitzvahs, but now they jointly own the mitzvahs, and it's each one accruing more mitzvahs. Kinnas L'Tzadikim, Toiv Lahem, V'Toiv La'olam.